Episode number 313.
The question of stability is really going to be not what it always used to be. You know, like even having a job, I think you're more safe as an entrepreneur when you can train yourself in the skill set, like you were saying. If you've been training yourself as an entrepreneur how to solve problems over and over again, it's just one of the most valuable skill sets.
Welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Hot, where we talk about life, dreams, social media, and business.
And welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis, Too Tall and Huff. Folks, you know your boy is fired up and fuegoed up and ready to bring you that life and energy you need in your day, your weeks, your months, and years afford. But today, I think you're going to want to think about the magic you have in your life, the connection you have in your life, and how you can actually use these things in your life with a person that knows how to do this in a big way. He's doing it in a seven-figure way, guys, and he's helping millennials. He's helping a millennial entrepreneurs inspire reaching bigger and bigger financial dreams, reaching their happiness, health, relationship goals, success, and journey. And you're doing that every day, my man, in the world, folks. We're bringing you Brandon Fong. Brandon, are you ready to be real?
Let's do it. Trying to match your energy. So let's go. We're going to rip some eardrums here.
Hell yeah, we are, baby. We're ripping energy. We're ripping eardrums. And we're talking about your life and actually the journey that you've had to get to this point, man. Because you're an entrepreneur, a creator, someone that is not only helping the world, but helping millennials, man. Helping those younger entrepreneurs too, that I love and believe in. I'm on the very end of the millennial spectrum. I'm 39 years old, guys. And so I'm about to be 40 this year. And I think I'm like the OG millennial of us all, because I know there's many OGs below me. But the point is, in general, is that a lot of people have been inspired by entrepreneurship this generation that maybe our parents didn't have, because we didn't have Shark Tank. We didn't see the kind of things that are around us. And to be transparent, starting a business is pretty much easier than it's ever been in many cases. So a lot of times I always say there's just no excuse except the excuses we give ourselves. So tell us a little bit about your journey, my man, into the seven-figure millennials.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me just say I'm coming from the bottom of the spectrum. I actually turned 25 this Sunday.
Let's
so I got the 25 and we can hit everybody in between.
I'll trade you, man, all my assets for your age. Let's go. You ready? Are you ready?
Well, let me start by explaining my entrepreneurial story, because I think it really bridges into all the work that I'm doing today. So my journey in entrepreneurship starts at Wisconsin Hills Middle School. So if you're listening to this right now, you probably remember in middle school, the one time that was like super exciting across all middle schools across the globe is lunch, right? Like you get the one break away from the teachers, you get to hang out with your friend, mess around, recess, all that stuff. And so the school bell would ring. And in my particular middle school, I hated lunch. And so I keep this picture on my desk. So if you're listening to this, you can't hear it, but I'm showing Travis. I got little Bugs Bunny that. Teeth.
I love it.
An attempt of a cool hairdo, some spectacles. Little nerdy Brandon. And the reason why I hated lunch is because when I would go through the lunch checkout line, I'd have my plastic tray with the curly fries, chicken nuggets, whatever nutritious meal was on sale for the day, right?
Right.
put it down next to the lunch lady. I'd type in my student ID, and then up on the screen, it would show the words, Brandon Fong, $0.00. And the reason why I show that is because I qualified for the free lunch program at school. My family needed a little bit of help financially. And it was the most embarrassing part of the day for me. And I didn't want my friends to see that. So I would try to like overcompensate and joke around so they like distract them so they wouldn't see the screen. Right. Some days I would hide out in the bathroom a little bit extra long so that I could just go through the lunch line by myself with nobody around.
Later. And got you.
Yeah, exactly. And the reason why I share that is because I have the world's best parents. And one of the things they taught me is that if you want to be successful, it's not about having resources. It's about learning how to be resourceful. Mm. And one of the things that they showed me from like 12 years old and even earlier than that was how to develop real relationships with people. And so they would actually let me skip school when I was 16 years old and go to these local networking events. So I would be the 16-year-old learning from people that were, you know, much more experienced than me. And I learned how to get uncomfortable. My dad taught me from an early age too, that like I'm a billiards player. So I play pool. And he's like, you always want to play with people that are better than you. Why would you play with somebody that's at your level or below you? And obviously you can just for fun, but like, if you want to get better, you have to be play with people that are above your level. So anyways, I'm in these networking rooms. I'm testing all these different things about connection. I meet my first mentor. She starts introducing me to successful people. And then if you fast forward to my senior year of college, I ended up using these connection skills I developed to reach out to a successful entrepreneur named Jonathan Levy. It turned out to a relationship where I ended up running his marketing for 3 years, helped add over 100,000 students to his online courses, 1.5 million downloads to his podcast. And Jonathan got into this group called Genius Network. So if you're not familiar with Genius Network, you need to be making at least 7 figures a year to be in this group. It costs $25,000 a year to attend. Jonathan got in and I said, I want Brandon to come as well. So I was very blessed to say I was the youngest person, again, 22 years old, inside of Genius Network, learning from some of these incredible, successful people. So let me just kind of wrap up this story here and explain the two main things that I think are really huge from this. Thing number one is I learned the power of what one connection can really do for you. I truly believe that you're always just one connection away from whatever next level of growth it is in your life, because it's always happened for me is I get introduced to someone and an explosion happens. And so that's why I'm so passionate about this process I teach called the Magic Connection Method, because if I can give people this gift of learning how to reach out to people and develop real relationships, not this spammy crap that we see in LinkedIn and on your stuff, and develop real relationships, it can change the game, whether it's your business, your personal life. So that's one thing. And then the second thing that I'm excited about is I got to Genius Network and I always wanted money growing up, right? Like I wanted more money. And then I see the people with all the money in the world and I realize you can have everything you want, all the toys, all the houses, all the cars, all the money, and you can still be miserable on the inside, right? And so that's why I'm so passionate about 7-Figure Millennials, where it's all about inspiring millennial entrepreneurs to prioritize their happiness, health, and relationships while making their biggest entrepreneurial dreams a reality. So I'm actually on my journey to 7 figures right now. I'm sharing what's working with all the incredible people that are on my show, on my podcast. And you know, it's based on the quote by Jim Rohn, become a millionaire, not for the $1 million, but for what it will make of you to achieve it. So those are the two things I got going on. That's how it relates to my story. And so let's dive in and
that's
do whatever.
That's amazing, dude. That's amazing. You're 25 and you have so much insight. I mean, I think it's very true that we all are one connection away. I know that when I first started my social media business, when I'd go out and talk to people and educate them about social media, I'd always tell them, social media is just email. And they'd be like, what? And I'm like, social media is email. It's like Gmail is my social, my social network. And my most fabulous business connections, podcasts, opportunities, everything has happened in Gmail. No one sees it. And it's communication between me and one other person.
Yes.
And I explained to them that that would be what social media was. This was before inbox and DM and all these things, where a lot of the action is really happening in social is people are buying cars on DM, like literally from auto dealers. Like we put cars on marketplace. They're asking questions. They're getting like almost pre-qualified right there. They're ready to like make a move that day. And it's all happening in direct message. No one sees that.
Yeah. I think
not really out there in the public. And so people forgot that it is a one-to-one connection, that it's not this, oh, I need to get 1 million likes on my posts. You know, people forget that part, you know?
People become desensitized. It's so easy to become desensitized, and people are doing this rooftop marketing where you think you're communicating with 1 million people, but I'm a copywriter by trade too. It's like all copy, all communication, it's always one person. You know, it's like you could be writing to multiple people, but when I ran Jonathan's email list of over 100,000 people and sent millions of emails, it's like I was always writing to one human. You know, it wasn't to the 100,000 people I was sending to. So the more that you can make your communication about developing relationship with one person at a time, whether or not it's actually one-on-one communication or to mass scale, you know, it's a really important thing to consider.
So tell us about your journey to 7 figures. What are you doing right now to get to 7 figures? What's the stream of revenue, or what are the things that you are hustling on right now?
Yeah, great question. So I have kind of a top-down, bottom-up approach. So I'm like what I've realized from learning from these incredibly successful entrepreneurs that your ability to scale depends on your back end, right? Mm-hmm. And so like I left Jonathan's company in May, and then I originally launched a product with Jonathan. It was my first ever product. We did $45,000 in the first week of the launch, and I was really excited about this thing. And it was called Ultimate Advantage, and it was all about basically my path that I took, like how to build your brand and then reach out to successful people and leverage that to, skyrocket your career. And it was cool. And I was really excited. I hit the ground running for the first few months on that. And then I realized that like the back end of that was really just helping people to find a job, which I really wasn't finding satisfying. So then I kind of had to take a reset, and I'm like, okay, what the heck does the back end look like? And that's actually kind of where Magic Connection Method was born, is because I think it's really important as entrepreneurs to look at a common thread throughout your entire life. Like what have you always naturally done? Like when I was in third grade, grade, I would hang out with my friends during recess, but I would also talk to the lunch lady a lot because like I thought that adults had a lot more interesting conversations than the kids were having. Right. And so like this theme of connection and you know, I've just always been able to connect with people. And so going back to this connection, I realized is something that has always been a through line. So if I could build a business that helps people to do this, that'd be incredible. So I wrote this Magic Connection Method book, and now what it's turned into is that because this method is so powerful, when I send out outreaches that the campaigns that I do, I'm seeing 90% open rates and 50% response rates. 50%, wow. 50, not 15, 50. And so, you know, I'm like, well, what if I just learned a process that I can bolt this onto people's businesses? How much would that change if you knew that you could reach out to 10 people and get 5 responses? Obviously, not all of them are going to be positive, but like real relationships that can help you to acquire clients, strategic partnerships. So to answer your question, I'm building out the back end of this Magic Connection Method consulting, helping people to implement this, develop real relationships, none of the spammy crap, and really just help people with that. At the same time, I have launched a 7-figure Millennials podcast, and I'm building the audience up. And then I'm going to be creating kind of like I said, top down, bottom up. So it starts with the back end and consulting, and eventually I'll fill that middle where it's like I'll create online products, online courses, memberships for the 7-figure Millennials audience. So right now I'm not monetizing the audience because I'm focused on the back end, but that's kind of the plan, is to meet them all together.
Very smart, dude. Very smart.
Thanks, man.
At the end of the day, you're going with your gut on the things that you know that have worked for you. At the end of the day, too, is because we are not only a connection away, but sometimes people forget those connections might be older than us. And also, as we get older, we forget those connections might be younger than us. That's why I have OGs like my man Brandon on the show, who's 25, 15 years younger than me, but is as passionate, as motivated, as inspired as anyone that I've met in the game. And so that is the thing that I've always found too, is that you have to keep surrounding yourself with those that are young and old. I got a kid that's 2 years old. She teaches me everything at this point. No. I mean, she's telling me pretty much everything I need to know in my day. So I'll say that is the beauty of life, is a full of learning, but then also the hustle. And that's, I can see that in you, dude, is that you got to have that hustle. You got to be willing to put in the work. And if something doesn't work, guys, if a product doesn't work, if a course doesn't work, if it doesn't feel relevant, like you said with your course, that you're just like kind of like, oh, I'm just filling people's careers and it doesn't feel right, it's okay to take that as a win and learn or as a loss if you don't make any money, or if you just tried something and it didn't come in, and move on. You know, it's okay to move on too. That's the beauty of life and business, is no matter what you do, even the biggest businesses in the world will fail. I mean, we were seeing this last year, you know, unfortunately, some of these categories, Circus de Soleil, incredible business before the pandemic, just scaling everywhere, going everywhere, bankrupt, you know, and not to their fault. It was a great idea, but people aren't going to shows right now. And they haven't been for a year, and they might not go for 5 more years. So it's not a great business for today. The point is, you could even have created the biggest thing and you think you're on top of the world, and something happens and you're flipped. And so I think that's the mindset to always be in. As we've seen in my generation, Blockbuster could have been Netflix. You know, you hear the stories of, you know, Sears could be Amazon and Target and Walmart, you know, because they had so much cash coming in at one point. But they just didn't think the model is going to change. People are going to want things at bulk, people at Costco. People are going to want things at discount, you know, which is tons of volume, at which is basically what Walmart and Target does, is they just give you the best price and hope that they're going to sell a shit ton of them. You know what I mean? Because they're competing for quantity. Or, you know, we found obviously with the Amazon model, where people are just going to want it to them, and they don't even want the physical in-house experience. And if you were Sears 20 years ago and you had given those ideas, they'd be a different company. Sears would be a whole different company. And so I think that's, interestingly enough, my man Brandon, because you are in the beginning stages of a great journey and success, and many 7 figures of success I could see, is even when you have the top, even when you've created the top, you have to be willing to take those things on the chin and look for what's next. Because we just had a futurist on, Mr. Matthew Mottola, talking about the future of work and freelance and things like that. And it's just, the world is interesting. It's a new world. And so, you know, the abilities that you can do as a 25-year-old now are like unbelievable.
Well, I think thank you for sharing all that, because I think it's really relevant for your audience. And the fact that like people view entrepreneurship as like riskier and less stable, and like you should get a job. But like when you look at it, especially with technology, the exponential growth of technology over the next few years, like the question of stability is really going to be not what it always used to be. You know, like even having a job, I think you're more safe as an entrepreneur when you can train yourself in the skill set. Like you were saying, when shit hits the fan, things got to turn around. If you've been training yourself as an entrepreneur how to solve problems over and over again, it's just one of the most valuable skill sets. Because if you look at like a standard person that has a job, right, you have a new project every few months and maybe even every few years. And you look at the learning cycle of an entrepreneur when it's like, oh shit, that didn't work. I have to go try something else. And it's like, you get into this habit of just problem solving. And there was one other thing I wanted to comment on too. I had somebody on the show, his name is Blair Dunkley, and he's been associated with adding $757 million to businesses using this process he teaches called mind models. And so what he did is he studied for years, basically people hate to be sold, but they love to buy. So what is the psychology of a purchase decision and how can you create a culture around buying? So like, anyways, that's his whole thing, but he teaches this thing called mind models and you alluded to it earlier. And it's success thinking is very clear. It's like, he teaches this process called the three E's, effective versus ineffective. So it's like, did you do something and was it effective or was it ineffective? And you can just really black and white look at it and judge and move forward. The other one is evaluation versus judgment. Mm-hmm. I was skiing the other day and like I busted my ass and it's like, you could either judge, it was my first time, but it's like, you can either judge yourself and feel bad, or you could evaluate and say, hey, what went wrong and how could I improve, right? And then the last thing is internal versus external. Like, is it internally verifiable? Are you worried about it in your thoughts? Or is it something that you can actually point to and see this happen, right? And so if you have those three things, evaluation versus judgment, internal versus external, and whatever the third one was that I just mentioned.
So if you
use those three things as an entrepreneur, there's really no losing. It's just a matter of learning from the situation and applying, moving forward. And I think that's the best entrepreneurs in the world are just the best at that and overcoming these chaotic times.
Dude, you're absolutely right. I always say the best entrepreneurs are cockroaches, dude. They not die. The Airbnb guys, Brian Chesky, those guys, they literally bought they bought cereal off the internet.
Obama oats.
Obama
Crunch or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And now they're Airbnb and they got a ton of more fuel to the rocket ship and they're smart. They're not going to just go be unwise. They've had to deal with a lot of things this last year with the pandemic, but they've gotten smarter with their business. The point is, when you are an entrepreneur and you know how to survive at those small levels, as you get bigger, you will, I believe, be able to survive at the higher levels, you know? And that's why I personally, when I'm investing, I love investing in companies where the entrepreneur or founder is still at the business, like an Elon Musk, you know, Jeff Bezos is leaving. So it's a little bit disheartening at this point, but what are you going to do? You've had a good run, Mr. Amazon. But that's the point is, you know, when you're investing, guys, if you guys are thinking about investing in companies and stocks, and, you know, people are thinking about those things too, is to look at companies that have the founder still there, because I love those stories. I think that they're much more willing to grit it out and grind it out than someone that just got brought in as a CEO and he's got this big ship he's now guiding, a lot less attachment to this thing. And I find just that grit, you know what I mean, Brandon? That grit that you see in those entrepreneurs that you don't get in someone that just comes in from the outside. And sometimes, truthfully, the person that comes in on the outside takes it to a whole nother level too. So, I mean, Tim Cook, I think, has done a great job at Apple. I mean, there's just some people have come in and they've done a great job. So you can't completely always say that either. So it's one of those things. But as an entrepreneur investor, I love investing in the people like yourself, the people that, you know, are willing to get in and work. So now, my man, we're about to take you into our top 10. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Let's go. Apple or Android?
Apple.
Apple. Netflix or YouTube?
I guess YouTube. I'm not really much of either, but I guess YouTube for learning stuff.
YouTube, Instagram, or Facebook?
Facebook.
Facebook. Chicken or steak, if you're thinking about meals?
Steak.
Steak. Laptop or smartphone?
Laptop.
I could lose my iPhone
for forever, but if you can't take my laptop away from me, it's right. Like both my arms
off. There's too much productivity that comes from that thing, baby. I already know. Spotify or Pandora?
Spotify.
Movies or video games?
Another one of those things where I don't do much of either, but movies. We'll go with movies.
What's your favorite thing to do when you have free time?
Learn a new skill.
Damn, he's always learning, folks. I love that. What's the new skill you're trying to learn right now?
I just bought a piano.
I bought a piano.
But if you want to toss in something else, and there's something I've been obsessed with recently, is something called Animal Flow. It's like what's the best way I could describe it? It's kind of like yoga,
tai chi?
But it
like tai chi.
But no, it mimics animal movements. So like it's basically it's like you have beast, you have crab, and then you have a whole bunch of transitionary movements between it. So it's very explosive, and you know it's great cardio and it's a lot of fun. So
oh, that's awesome. I'm gonna have to check that out. Animal Flow.
Yeah. Yeah, check it out. I'll send you a video afterwards, but it's really cool.
That is cool. Hey, it's so fun to do new things, man. That's the hardest thing about not being at the gym right now is that you have to constantly kind of trick yourself into new things, in my opinion. And that's cool. Animal Flow. Reading books or listening to books?
I do so much of a combination of both. I would say, you know, obviously I think when I'm at the gym and that kind of stuff, I'm listening to stuff, but then I'll go back and read. So I honestly say it's a 50-50 split.
50-50. Yeah, well, that's good, man. You're taking it in both. There's nothing like the physical book, but there's nothing like the ability to be able to multitask, go on a walk, work out,
for sure, et cetera,
and then take in that knowledge, baby. Or drive time. That's like, let's say that's the school of, the school of college, whatever. I forgot there was the most famous person saying that you can just use that drive time as your school to learn, man. And
yeah.
It's been true more than ever now with
Jim
Rohn. Maybe
Jim Rohn.
Yeah, Jim
Rohn.
Yep, exactly. As that's your time to learn, baby. Stocks or real estate if you're thinking about a diverse type of investment?
You know, I haven't dove into real estate enough yet. So at the time, it's ETFs is pretty much my.
There you go.
I'm a slow and steady approach for investing.
Smart. Hey, if you guys are not wanting to be an active investor, that's the smartest thing you can do. Is be long-term, invest in an ETF. They're not going to get the same return as if you went into a one stock, but you're also not going to have the things that happen in stocks where they go up and down, and you have to make a call at the right time, which is called active investing. And that means you have to be spending time watching these things and gut reaction, making the calls. Oh shit, do I need to sell this at this time? And that's the beauty of an ETF is because they kind of do those things for you and you just get the upside swing and not have to worry about it, man. So I'm with you on that one. Oceans or lakes if you're thinking about vacation?
Lakes.
Lakes. Love it, dude. Do you have a favorite lake?
Wisconsinite. Not really, but you know, Wisconsinites, it's really popular to have like your cabin and go and do some water skiing, that kind of stuff. So I don't know. I guess maybe I haven't spent enough time by the oceans.
Hey, dude. Hey, we got some beautiful oceans out here in Cali, but yes, I mean, there's nothing like a lake. We have a lot of lakes out here where we're out in Central California and nothing like being on a lake, dude. Just something different about it, man. Something different about it. So when you're waking up in the morning and you're getting your day ready, you're getting pumped for the day, why do you love being you?
Great question. I just love waking up and I'm like, I will wake up at 6 in the morning and I'll be like, oh, it's not time. Or I'll wake up at like 4 and I'll be like, is it time to work yet? So I just love, I'm super blessed and grateful to say that I get to wake up and like, I have my day planned out ahead of time. I'm always excited to dive in. I believe in taking breaks and disconnecting, but man, that's the part I think is the most exciting is getting to do what I love every single day.
It's important too, man. It's important that you are excited because we know there's going to be a shitstorm day for Brandon. There's going to be a shitstorm day for T-Huff where every day is not easy. Let's just be real. And you, if you don't keep that mentality, it's going to be something that takes you down the opposite direction. And so having that mentality and those methods and routines keeps Brandon fueled up for his day and his challenges above him. And it makes it even that much easier when we get to celebrate the wins too, you know? And so I think that that's a good mindset, Brandon. Good stuff, dude. Do you think you ever retire? Do you think you ever
No, absolutely not.
I'm done, baby. Nope. I agree, man. Keep that Warren Buffett, Charlie Munger mentality working into our 90s. Shit, by your time, you're going to probably be living to your 150, maybe, possibly.
Yeah, I think lots of entrepreneurs, like when you acquire a lot of money, I think it's your responsibility to take that and do more with it. So whether or not it's like in business stuff, like I just think that as entrepreneurs, and this is something I'm talking with my mentor about, and I don't know, it's not moved forward yet, but we want to create like the amazing race plus like Spartan of elite entrepreneurship. So like elite entrepreneurs solving world problems together, because there's so much about, you know, you need to be a philanthropist. You need to have billions of dollars before you can do crazy stuff. But it's like, if you have a whole group of high level entrepreneurs that are playing in their unique ability and you put them together in a room to solve problems, like you can do some cool shit.
That's a hackathons. They call that Facebook, man. That's how
exactly.
Some of their biggest products have happened from hackathons where they're just,
yeah,
you have a time and you have a team and let's go, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Try it. And some of the greatest entrepreneurs are doing that too, Brandon. They're like, you know, Elon Musk is doing the $100 million to, I think it's $100 million. Yeah, $100 million to someone that can basically find a way to remove carbon from the atmosphere. And it's very hard to do. If someone can do it, he's got 100 milli waiting for you, Mr. Elon Musk. So it's like that. It's like you said, some of the smartest things need to happen from these very smart people getting together and saying, hey, here's some money, and challenge you. I think because people are challenged by money too, right? I mean, or an obstacle, I guess you could say. Like you're mentioning, it's kind of like a race. You know?
Yeah. And I think too, back to what I said before, it's like, it's a matter of once you get the highest levels I've learned from entrepreneurs, it's like the best people are the people that have identified their unique ability and they stick there. And like, and then once you can understand that and surround yourself with other people, it's not a 1+1=2. It's a 1+1=11 situation. So there's like, that's what's really exciting. It's like getting really clear on that. And once you're clear on that, understanding where you fit in and how to partner with other people that are, you know, multipliers to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like using those connections, those magical connections that you're talking about, my man. I love that. So what is your routine to start your day? Do you, can you give us a little insight on that?
So it starts the night before. Usually it's like, I'll plan out what like the first thing that I'm going to do in the morning is, but, I wake up, I brush my teeth. I get my yerba. I drink yerba mate in the mornings.
Oh yeah, nice.
Yeah, so I do focus days on Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays, and then Tuesdays, Thursdays, I do calls typically. So if it's a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, it's usually get up, get started on the key task. And then Tuesday, Thursdays is usually like mostly calls. So less cognitive work, but yeah, I mean, it's pretty much my go time. My flow zone is like right when I wake up, I'm like ready to go. And I have like, I don't even need caffeine for the most part, but it's just like my brain waves are ready to go. So I take advantage of that for like 2 to 3 straight hours and then yes. I'll roll into some other stuff.
That's the best is self-awareness too. The most smartest entrepreneurs I've ever talked to, bumped into are very self-aware. And so some people bump out of bed and they don't want to work at all. They wait, they kind of glog around and they wait till 8 and it works for them. You know what I mean? Because they just have a way of killing it when it becomes 8 o'clock. And then some of them are like yourself, my dude, where you're just 4, 6, go. And you are going. And that's the time to go because those sweet spot of those 2, 3, 4 hours like you have in those focused days, you can get so much stuff done. So yeah, much stuff done, dude.
For sure.
So congratulations for having that focus at 25, dude. Most people don't even know what the hell they want to do with their lives. So congratulations to you, my man, for knowing what the journey is and knowing obviously that it takes work and having those discipline, man. So that's amazing. What do you have a favorite app on your phone? Is there a tool you like using?
I have most apps are deleted from my phone. I guess let me see.
Nice. You keep them off.
I play chess. Chess is a decent app that I use a lot. Otter.ai is an interesting one that maybe people don't use as much for transcription. So if I have an idea, I'll record it on there and send that out.
Nice. That's cool. Yeah, so you record it and then it transcribes it?
Yeah, pretty much instantaneously. So like if I'm going to send someone an idea or something like that, instead of sending like a voice message, I'll do it on Otter and then they can get a transcription of it afterwards.
Gotcha.
So I guess that's one of the more unique ones I use. But yeah, I try to spend as little time as my phone as possible. So
yes, stay undistracted, baby. Stay focused on the goals you got today because the Lord knows these phones are so good at us, keeping us tied to them as close as possible to notify you of this and that. And yeah, there's many of entrepreneurs. That's the most thing you got to do. Keep this phone away from me, man. I hear that time and time again. I didn't get much done today because I was on my phone. Damn it. Damn phones. So tell us this last couple questions here, my man. Has there been a book that has changed your life? Is there a book you reread, keep at your heart, or, you know, kind of just is a testament to you in life?
Do I have to give one or
it doesn't matter? Whatever you feel good, whatever you feel.
Okay. So there, I used to be like lots of what I've realized at the higher levels. It's like, lots of it is business wisdom, but most of it is like internal work. What I've seen at the high levels. So like, I mean, I used to give like really businessy book answers, but like the ones I'll give now are not as focused on that. I mean, I think Unique Ability 2.0 by Dan Sullivan, a strategic coach, is one that most people haven't heard about, but that one kind of goes into what I was talking about before of like understanding what your superpowers are and then how you can align with people and work from that perspective. And then the surrender experiment and the untethered soul are two that I would really encourage people to look at if you're looking at, you know, some more of the internal and staying present and shifting your mindset. Yeah. And then I mean, I guess to toss in a business ebook, I guess like one of my favorites is Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss for like negotiation thing in there.
Negotiations, so baby.
Yeah. So those are a bunch there for you.
I love that, dude. Thank you for sharing that. I love Chris Voss, dude. He's incredible. And dude, you are on a journey like a rocket ship with Elon to Mars, my dude. And seven figures, I think it's a catchy term, but I don't think it's enough for you, my man. I think you're going eight figures.
I bought the domain eight figure millennials, and I have that set up. So we'll see. It's one of those things where you have as much clarity as possible, and you move, and then you need to adjust. So it's seven figure millennials for now. So
and seven figures. Let's just be real, guys. If you get to seven figures in your life, and you have seven figures of assets, not just cash in the bank, but assets working for you, you're going to have momentum like you've never had in your life. And you're going to see things like you've never seen, because on days where your assets go up, you're making quite a bit of money. And with patience and diligence and working at the snowball, when you get to that level, it's easier to get to that seven to eight. You know what I mean? And so that's the beauty. But truthfully, it won't bring you any happiness. You mentioned that in the beginning, all the people you've connected to at a higher level, it can bring nothing but misery. And a lot of people that have been given everything, it can create nothing but misery. The sweet spot is in the middle there, somewhere where you're finding your happiness, you're working on your dreams, you're investing, you're in control of your life, and you know that it's not easy. You know, there's going to be hardships, loss, things that come across our path, and we have to find a way to work through that. And I think,
can I add?
Absolutely, please add, my dude.
Well, so I was on a call yesterday, and this guy said it that I think was so brilliant. As I met so many incredibly successful entrepreneurs, one of here's in a story. I met this guy named Joshua Shaffrin. He was on my show. He's nicknamed the $50 million man. And he was actually the guy that started the Two Comma Club and sold it to Russell Brunson. But he tells this crazy story of being at Richard Branson's, you know, island on top of the world. And then he got back and realized he hated his life and sold everything and got rid of it just to start over. And so like, that's one story. But then I had this conversation with someone yesterday. And what I realized is that so many entrepreneurs are outcome focused. When I achieve this, I will be happy, right? But then you see so many entrepreneurs that build successful businesses and they crash. And this guy said yesterday that I think was really interesting is that I think inherently, you as entrepreneurs, you want to be outcome focused, but the happiness and the growth and the excitement happens when you're building the damn thing. It's not when you've achieved the thing. Right. And so that's why so many entrepreneurs subconsciously sabotage themselves, because they achieve their goal and they're like, fuck, I want to go back to the beginning, but it was fun again. And they just start
lose
over.
Oh, let's lose it all again.
So I think it's really important to think about that is like, as you grow and understand that even if it's not the happy time, even if it's not the time where you have all the money in the world, like that's the time that like you're going to look back fondly upon. And so don't miss that. I think that's really important.
So true. Dude, so true. And then also to have no regrets, because the number one thing people will regret at the end of their lives is that they didn't do this and I wish I would have done that, because we know we can't go back in time. And I think that's the one thing that I always remind myself as is take a shot, take a chance. You know, don't be completely stupid, but take a shot with the, you know, if you got assets on the sidelines and you want to move into something different, you want to try something new, why not? You know, you have one life. You can just try it. And if it doesn't work out, you can always go back to what you know, your safe zone, if you want to call it that. But too many people will just never give themselves a shot to start a podcast, to do anything outside of just what they kind of know. And shout out to you, my man, for the you know, wealth of knowledge at such a young age, dude. I feel your soul. I feel your soul is full of wisdom. And I feel like you are like so like inspiring, because you're doing it. You know, you're not just talking about it. And so I think that's the biggest thing that most of us true people that understand entrepreneurship know, that, you know, you gotta see a lot of people talking on this and that. And next thing you know, that where is this person at? You know what I mean? It's a long journey. It's a long journey in entrepreneurship, and to know that you have to have that mindset to wake up, have the routines, and then to be fueling your mind with the knowledge that you are, dude, by having the podcast and having all the influence you have with your network. Unstoppable, bro. 40. Really, I don't even want to see you at 40, bro. I don't even want to see you at 40. Dude. You're unstoppable. Well, bro, I really appreciate it. Where is the best place for people to learn more about seven-figure millennials, learn more about you? Can you give a shout out?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're wherever the heck you're listening to this, whatever app, if you just type in Seven Figure Millennials, that's where you can find my show. Listen to some of the crazy people I'm bringing on. My goal with the podcast for every single guest is to make it the best interview they've ever had. So I go really deep. Like I go deeper than most people do. So I spend 2-3 hours of research before every single episode just so that I can make sure that that's done. So, I mean, some incredible stories. I had Andre Norman on. He robbed cocaine dealers for a living.
Wow.
And then he got sentenced to 100 years in prison, had an epiphany in solitary confinement that he wanted to become a Harvard fellow. And then he decided to set this crazy goal where he became a Harvard fellow. And today he got out after 13 years and has changed the criminal justice system. He's a speaker, author, and like, it's just insane story. So I'm bringing on people like that. I got some Olympians scheduled up for the show. And so I'm really excited. So if you want to check out and listen to like my magic connection method process in action of bringing these people on the show, absolutely would appreciate you checking that out and giving it a listen. But besides that, we didn't really get into my magic connection method process. So if you want to learn this process today on how you can begin to, send these outreaches and develop relationships with people, you can check out magicconnectionmethod.com. And I didn't talk about it, but maybe we can do a future episode. I can share the specifics with you guys, or I can send you some resources other ways, but I did put together a link. So Travis, I don't know if I'm good to share a gift.
Yeah, share a lift. Share, please, dude. We're all gracious here, brother.
Sweet. So if you go to bfo.ng/bereal, so that's bfo.ng/bereal. I bought a domain from Nigeria because I wanted Bfong as my as my domain.
Love it.
So that's bfo.ng/bereal. What I did is I created some of these magic connection method emails that have been proven, and I wanted to write them for you. So if you know how to copy and paste, you can leverage those. So you can check that out if you want to see some of the stuff I'm doing there. And there's some other bonus resources I toss in for you guys as well, so you can check that out. But yeah, I think the biggest thing is if you've enjoyed listening to me and this conversation we've had, check out the podcast, and then I can share you the magic connection method secret sauce in other ways.
Let's go, guys. And we're going to put all those info in the show notes so you don't have to worry about that. Just hit those details and we will get you all those show notes. Folks, you've been hanging out with a legend in the game, and he's only 25 years old, but a soul that is thriving and living and showing us all that anything is possible. You're hanging out with Mr. Brandon Fong and Travis Too Tall and Huff. We want to thank you again for your time today, and let's keep being real. What another epic episode. And if you enjoyed the episode today, can you please do me a favor and subscribe to our podcast, The Be Real Show, on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform? And also take a little time today, if you don't mind, and give your boy T Huff a review. I would really super appreciate it. And thank you so much for listening today. We're all going through a lot right now. And Real Time Outsource, my business, is giving back to local and small businesses. Through our social media services and campaigns, we are actually helping small businesses get more exposure during these times, and also when we get through these times. At the end of the day, we don't know how long this is all going to last, but most importantly, you got to think about your business right now and take it seriously. So come check us out at realtimeoutsource.com, and we would love for you to qualify and get the process started where we can take a look at your business and see if we can qualify you for some of our services. Little to no cost for most of the businesses, and some businesses, you know, you're gonna have to pay, but that's part of life, right? But most importantly is that I think this is the time, folks, that you can actually help thrive in your business. And so I would love to help you personally with our team. We're all going through a tough time right now, so take advantage of us. realtimeoutsource.com. check us out, and we would love to do some business with you and help you with your social and digital media in 2020 and beyond.